Jesus first, everyone else who's saved afterwards. So it's clearly all about the Jews turning spiritually, as Hosea said. They will return not just to the land, but in this case, they're returning to the Lord. Look at verse 11, says, "In that day shall there be a great mourning," M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning in Jerusalem, "as the mourning of Hadad-Ramon in the valley of Megiddon." We don't have time to go into all of that, but you see there in Zechariah 12, it's what it's referring to in Hosea. "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up." If you want to see what that's all about, just look at the references about the Great Tribulation and how God is dealing with Israel. That's why the church is gone. And now God's dealing with Israel. And Revelation 12, as we've referenced a number of times. So verse 2 says, "After 2 days will he revive us." After 2 days. That's why we believe that this is referring to our day. What year is it? Now, what we believe that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again, and then ascended to heaven in somewhere between 30 and 32 A.D. Some Julian calendar issues involved there, and we're not, you know, we have some questions about it, but we know it's 30 to 32. There's really very little debate that it's not between that time. Which means 2 days would take us to 2030 to 2032. Now, I'm not date setting, but I'm just telling you the facts that if the rapture happens within a few months of the beginning of the tribulation, that would put it somewhere between 23 and 2025. Sounds weird to say those years. It still doesn't roll off my tongue saying 2020. But that would put us right there. Yeah. Now when you see that and all these other things, if it's just that, you know, okay, preacher, go on. But look at all that's going on that is related to that. You say, well, they said that back in 1988. No, they based those previous dates. And again, I'm not date setting. I'm not telling you to sell everything and put on a white robe and go sit up on top of a hill somewhere. But I am telling you that there's reason to believe it could be really, really close. We know it's imminent. We know it could be any moment anyway.
Amen.
And back then in these books, they always took the feasts from Israel and tried to apply it to the church and the rapture. That's why they were off. And today, what all we're doing is just looking at the basic truths about the Bible prophecy that we are given in Scripture. And we see that after 2 days, well, I got to point this out too. I don't think it's not just a coincidence that Jesus rose again after 3 days. Israel will rise again in the third day. And there's times where Jesus, the firstborn, there's times where Israel is referred to as my firstborn son. And that's the excuse that some anti-messianic Jews, non-messianic Jews, people who reject Jesus and are Jews, they will use that as an excuse to reject him. And they'll say, oh, those prophecies are just talking about Israel. But there are some talking about Israel, the firstborn son. There's others who are talking about the Messiah himself. 2 days equals 2,000 years. And that's Bible. Look at Psalm 90.
Yep.
Psalm 90 and verse 4. Jenny Miller, are you there?
Yes.
Read that real loud.
"For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night."
Now, if God says something once, that's really enough.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
But he says it more than once. "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past." Look at 2 Peter 3:8. Old Testament, now go to New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. Jenny Albaugh, are you there? Could you read that?
2 Peter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day.
So what's 2 days?
2,000 years.
2,000 years. That's just Bible. Now, wicked men use this to date set and sell books. We're just recognizing the reality of what it's saying. We're not trying to set a date. I'm not going to sell a book, Why Jesus is Going to Return in 2032, September 18, 2032. Be my birth. Wait, it just makes sense to be on my birthday. But then foolish professing Christians dismiss it altogether. And I'm saying, take it for what it's worth. Don't try to sell books and, you know, start your own date-setting ministry. But don't ignore it, because it's there. After 2,000 years, Israel is restored to God and to the land. That's what it says. Look at Zechariah. That's not right. I had another reference there I think I was supposed to put in there. The first regathering was for the first coming of Jesus. We are witnessing the second regathering. Because what a lot of people say when you talk about these passages that say, I'm going to bring them from all the different countries. When they came back to the time of Christ, that was the first regathering. And they only came from surrounding countries right there in the Middle East. But what the Bible talks about, a second regathering. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. And so we know there's more than one. So anybody thinks they're going to get be able to just blow off what's going on in Israel today by saying, oh, that was just referring to the gathering of the Jews back in the land for when Jesus came the first time. Well, I'm glad you said first time, because the prophet was given words to rebuke that. Beginning in verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. How many of you know King David? The root of Jesse. That means someone who's the offspring of David. Which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. That's you. That's me. That's right. You're right there. That's you. Who did you seek for salvation? Because he first sought you. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And you responded by going to him. He drew you, and you went to him. Verse 11. Read that. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, and from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And people believe that's referring to all these lands that weren't a part of the civilized world at that time, including North and South America. And it says in verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and do what? Gathered together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Not just from a handful of countries right there in the Middle East like he did the first time he came. This time, doesn't it sound like 150 countries about covers it? The second time, the second regathering, the second time to recover the remnant of his people. That is an amazing Bible prophecy. And it is being fulfilled right before our eyes. What a... Oh, man. It's just sad to see so few people get it. There are... Just talk about Christians right now in America. They claim there's like 40 million professing Christians in America. Yeah. I doubt if there's 4 million that even know this is happening.
Yeah, I agree.
10% at best. At this point in time, right now, 2020, is, if you're watching this later on, Israel remains in unbelief. This is a story from an Israeli paper, Haaretz. A new poll shows atheism on the rise, with Jews found to be the least religious. Now, that is just amazing. Even though I already know it's true, because you know I keep up with what's going on in Israel and current events. But think about that. When Bible prophecy is being fulfilled right in front of their face, and their own prophet said there'd be a second regathering, and they'd bring everybody back to the land, and they even have a name for it, Aliyah. And all the things being set up for the Antichrist, and for the one world government, and for the one world money system, and for the one world religion, and all that's going on around the world that fits the biblical prophecies. And the people that gave us the book. Romans 3 says that from them came the oracles of God. That's why I say Luke is a Jew. Amen. The Jews wrote this book. This is a Jewish book. Nebuchadnezzar dictated a chapter, but it was put in there by a Jew named Daniel. And the whole Bible was given to us by Jews.
Amen.
And as it's being fulfilled, they are the least religious people on earth, which just happens to be what the Bible says would happen. The Bible says the very people that I gave this book to, when it comes down to the end, they're going to be a whole nation of unbelievers. And he says 2/3 of them are going to be killed. And then 1/3 will weep and mourn when he returns, because they've rejected him all the way up to that point. Isn't that something? This is in the story of the religion surveyed in the poll. Jews were found to be the least religious. Only 38% of the Jewish population worldwide considers itself religious. While 54% sees itself as non-religious. That they're saying agnostic. And 2% are outright atheist. So the bottom line is 56%+ of the Jews are agnostic or atheist. They don't even believe in a personal God. And others put the actual number much higher. A few years ago, guy went and one particular group went and did a poll of Jews in Israel, and 80% of them called themselves either agnostic or atheist. So it's according to which poll you want to believe. I took the conservative number just to be fair.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? But when Hosea 6:2 prophecy is fulfilled, Israel, the entire nation that's left, that 1/3 that remains, will be Jews for Jesus. That's what's going to happen. Look at it back in Hosea. Hosea 6. After 2 days will he revive us. And then it says what? In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That third day, from the time of the rejection of Jesus Christ, 70 is another possible date, by the way. And some people say, well, I think it's going to be 2070. That would be my 101st birthday. But I hope it's not that far down the road. But 2 days from the crucifixion, rejection, the Messiah cut off, to what we'd say around 2030. The third day will be the end of the 70th week of Daniel. The end of the tribulation. That will begin the 3,000 year.
Amen.
Since that time. And so this is talking about the millennium. And saying the third day, he's going to bring all the Jews home, set them up in their land, and Jesus will actually rule and reign from Jerusalem. Messiah, King Jesus. He'll be right there on the throne, right in front of their face.
Amen.
Look at Ezekiel 43 and beginning verse 1. Afterward he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. See that? With his glory.
Amen.
And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face. Now read verse 4 with me. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. That's why the Muslims concreted up the eastern gate. They think they're going to be able to block this from being fulfilled. They're going to block the Messiah from coming through that gate. You talk about that stone that'll crush you to powder. Read verse 5. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And then it says, and I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. So this is the Lord right there. Yep. Read verse 7 with me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. Listen, folks, it's going to go from one extreme to the other. Right now, Jews who say they don't believe in Jesus, they reject him and they blaspheme his name constantly. Sarah Silverman, a Jewish comedian, you know, talked about how if Jesus came back, she'd kill him again. And that's coming out of Jews' mouths all the time. These Jewish entertainers, and that's why it gives the anti-Semites, you know, fodder. It helps their case. You're still a fool if you curse Israel and curse the Jews, but you can kind of understand why those guys who don't have the Spirit of God in them will fall for that. But there's coming a day when he will have nothing but believers in Israel. And he will be right there ruling and reigning from the throne in the temple in Jerusalem.
Amen.
It's an amazing thing. Jesus is the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with saying Jesus is Lord, but be more specific. He is the Lord. And we are repeatedly promised a day when he will rule the world in person, on the earth, from Israel.
Amen.
Ezekiel 48:31 says, and the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. What a name for a city. The Lord is there. That's how the book ends. You go back to Revelation, telling us that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, will dwell with us. He'll be with Israel, but we will rule and reign with him. He'll be walking. You say, I hear people say, oh, I'd love to have been there when Jesus walked the earth. Well, your day's coming.
Amen.
And he'll be glorified. And he won't be crucified.
Amen.
This time, no one's going to crucify him. Revelation 21:3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It's just, doesn't that just make you happy? I mean, don't you just see, you read this stuff, you say, glory to God.
Amen.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Yeah, Johnny?
Well, Vincent, so pretty much the Bible ends where it began.
Yeah.
In the very beginning.
He's in the garden walking with Adam, and he will end. Yeah. That's right, it's a return to Eden. Yeah, paradise lost is paradise regained, as
Amen.
Dante, I believe, said it. So back in Hosea then, again, we'll close it up in verse 3, says, then shall we know, look what it says, what's that big two-letter word there? That's a condition, if we follow on to know the Lord. In other words, only that one-third that survives. And I believe that God will, he knows the heart. And he knows those who are open to him. That's why I believe we're going to find out when we get to heaven, there were some people that died young and God just let them die because he knew their heart. Because you would say, it's not fair, a guy dies at 25 and goes to hell, and then you got some other guy like my grandpa who lived to be 80 and got saved. That's just not fair. Well, if God knew my grandpa's heart and knew he wasn't going to get saved, maybe he had died in the war. I just believe we're going to find that kind of thing out when we stand before the Lord, great white throne, the judgment seat of Christ, both. We're going to find those kind of, that kind of stuff out. And God knows those in Israel. He knows their hearts. But those who do follow on to know the Lord, this promise is reserved for those Jews who will believe on Jesus. That's who's going to fulfill this promise. So verse 3 then says, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain onto the earth. And this is describing what the Bible calls times of refreshing. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Times of refreshing. I want you to read about this in Acts. The book of Acts is a transition book. The purpose of the book of Acts is to explain to us, number one, how we got from Mosaic law to the gospel of the grace of God. And right there in chapter 9, it begins to explain to us how we got from the 11 apostles, Judas commits suicide, they replace him with some guy named Matthias, casting lots, and then all of a sudden God says, okay, you guys do whatever you want, my man's Paul. Amen. But if we didn't have the book of Acts, we wouldn't understand any of that. And then people run back here to try to form their doctrine. That's not what the book of Acts is intended for. Although it does have passages that support Pauline doctrine, but we confirm it in Pauline epistles. And here in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12 says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. This is Peter preaching to those who crucified Jesus. These are the very people who yelled, crucify him! 40 days prior. 43, I guess you'd say. He was crucified, after three days rose again, and then spent 40 days, and then ascended to heaven. So there's 43 days, and then however many days within less than 2 months of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Peter is confronting them. Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. See, Peter is confronting the very people who had Jesus crucified. Verse 14 says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Give us who? Barabbas. Verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. In other words, they knew this guy. They knew he'd been since birth. Needed a healing. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers. Or your rulers, yeah, sorry. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. You see, when Jesus came the first time, they didn't know their Bible. So they missed it. Amen. People who don't know their Bible are missing it again. Yeah, same thing. Read verses 19 through 23. Let's read it together. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And if they knew their Bible, they know he's quoting Deuteronomy 18. The prophecy given to Moses about Jesus. So we'll close with this thought. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, all of this is part of your future. You're going to either be a part of this or at least witness this as a believer in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great?
Yeah, until that I watched the documentary on China, and if they can see what the noise of your Trump Castle product will be April 1st, 2025.
Well, that was before Trump.
Yeah.
And that's why China has been trying to do things to hurt our economy.
Correct.
Because what they had under the previous administrations, whether it was Democrat or Republican, they had what they called free trade. And it wasn't free trade.
Amen.
It was give away the farm trade. And so Trump came in and said, okay, you got tariffs, we're going to have tariffs.
Yep.
You want us to drop our tariffs, you drop your tariffs. That's what an intelligent man does.
Right.
I should say this. The other men are intelligent too, but they're traitors.
Yeah.
Because they're globalists.
Yep, exactly.
It's the Bushes and the Clintons. It was all of them.
Well, I'm just saying that Clinton signed a NAFTA.
And Bush signed GATT and two other treaties. I'm telling you, everyone, Democrat and Republican, until Donald Trump, was selling you out, killing your country, giving it away. And that's why they hate Donald Trump. And if Americans had any brains, they'd realize that. I've never spoken like this about a president.
Amen.
Because I've never had a president like this. But I will. I don't care. I'll speak out. You know, when you got a friend, you got a friend. You know, and he's speaking. They hate him because he stands up for against abortion. They hate him because he stands up against the LGBT encroachments on our religious freedoms. They hate him because he stands up for you. And
he stands up for gun rights.
And the Second Amendment. That's right. So the thing with China, pray about that. Because there's a lot of people here in America who are on China's side, including your Democrat news media.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.